Back here on the game, John Kurtz, Mitch Fortner with you today until 5:30. We are talking a lot of K-State and should they play Wichita State in hoops. That is back in the news, at least for me, after reading Kellis Robinette's piece where that was addressed by both Gene Taylor and Bruce Weber at a Catbacker event yesterday. So if you have thoughts on that, tweet us, JL Kurtz, the game KMAN. You can also call the show 537-1350 should K-State be playing Wichita State in hoops. Get back into that in a little bit here on the show. For now, I need you to tell me, Mitch, if I'm crazy right now for thinking this, if I am trying to be a conspiracy theorist, if I am reading too much into this. It's a fairly random, harmless, benign press release that I normally would not pay much attention to, but I did get this sent to me today. It says, Kansas State freshmen will have the opportunity to purchase a 4-year student athletic pass and lock in the current price, K-State athletics officials announced Wednesday. Incoming freshmen can purchase the 4-year pass for $885 and lock in their pass for the duration of their time at K-State. So if you want an ICAT pass as a freshman, there is an option where you can purchase it for all 4 years up front. It saves you $295 if you do it, and that's really the headline here that K-State is pushing, that, hey, you do this, essentially you get your senior year for free. If you just pay for this all up front, you lock yourself into 4 years of having an ICAT pass. The ICAT pass, I don't know exactly how it works now. I know how it worked when I was in school. You get better seats, more or less, in a T-shirt. Better seats in a T-shirt. Now, here's a part that is saved to the end of the second paragraph. It says, this is the only option for incoming freshmen to receive an ICAT pass, and it is not refundable at any time. So if you're a freshman coming into K-State and you want the better seats, you want to be ICAT, you've got to commit to 4 full years at $885. That's the commitment you need to make. I'm not saying this is a bad move by K-State, but does this not scream that they realize there's some uncertainty ahead for the football program? There's some uncertainty ahead for the men's basketball program, and it's going to help to make sure that you get people locked in for 4 years here financially, just in case things go south and there's not as much interest and excitement in football and men's basketball in the coming years.
I think you're a little crazy.
You think I'm crazy, huh?
I think they're just trying to sell tickets.
Well, right, yes.
But they don't. I don't think it's because they think both the programs are going to tank in a matter of 4 years.
Well, then why not give them the option to freshmen the option to just do a 1-year ICAT.
That's already an option.
No, it's not.
You can't. So you're telling me you cannot buy it year by year if you're an incoming freshman?
Mitch, I'm going to read this to you again. Pay attention, please.
No, I get it now if you're telling me I'm wrong, but
if you're an incoming freshman, the only way you can get an ICAT pass is to purchase all 4 years up front.
I don't like that.
The only other thing I could come up with is that if it's supposed to be just a tip of the cap to seniority and they are trying to make sure that more older students, sophomores, juniors, seniors, are the ones that are actually getting the ICAT seats as opposed to freshmen, that'd be the only thing I could come up with other than trying to make sure that you lock in people for 4 years because there is some concern with what could happen in the next 4 years. Because otherwise, I mean, if it's all about money here, they're locked into the price that they pay right now. So if things went really well and the tickets are in higher demand in a couple years, you then can't raise the price on these people. So it's playing it safe.
Right.
You know, to me, it's really playing it safe. And that just makes me wonder if it's due to upcoming uncertainty for both the football and men's basketball programs. If it is, I'm not sitting here saying that that's a bad move by K-State. I think it's actually smart. So that's why I raised this question. I don't raise it to run down K-State here. I think it would be a good idea if that's why they're doing it.
Well, I think it'll work because ICAST students have mom and dad pay for it and the GA students pay for it themselves.
There is probably a better chance of the freshmen paying for it up front, right? Your parents are paying for more of the stuff. When you're a freshman, you get further and further along, older and older, might get less and less parental help. I think you're onto something.
Well, and plus, if you are paying for yourself, you better make sure you don't flunk out early. Make sure you keep the grades up.
Stay in, because otherwise you got to pay $600. If you bomb, that's a great point. If you bomb out of school your freshman year, you're locked into $600 more worth of tickets. I don't know how you'd be getting out of that. You'd have to be doing a lot of work on Craigslist or does Facebook Marketplace still exist? I don't even know. You have to be trying to sell those things off. You better hope things go well for football and men's basketball if that's the case.
Well, and plus, I mean, it's no secret that it takes ICAT much longer to fill up than GEA does. So I don't know. Maybe they are looking to fill it up more. They're looking to sell more tickets. I think if that's what they're trying to do, they're trying to get more, you know, more feet in the seats, I should say, not really butts, because they stand up the whole time.
Yeah.
If they're trying to do that, yeah, I think this is a smarter move, because I think then more fans will be obligated to go to the games. And what it's kind of like the KU rule, which I get so sick of seeing students, you know, get their cards buzzed, and then they walk right back out the door because they want a better seat for the KU game, and then, you know, the more games you go to, the better seat you have. I just hope people show up. That's all I want.
Yeah, admittedly, I didn't do too much research as to, you know, do other schools do this? Is this the way typically that other schools will operate? So I'm in the dark, and I'm, goodness, 6 years removed from being in college. I just know how it worked when I was there. I don't know all the little ins and outs of this, but that was the prevailing thought that I had when I saw that press release earlier today. Last night, the Royals did win a game, 6-2. Over the New York Yankees, it was Jorge Bonifacio that put the Royals ahead late in the game with a two-run homer. It took until the seventh, really, for the Royals to break through. They get four homers, and they wind up winning the game. And really, Bonifacio had the key shot, a corner outfielder that had been called up early on this season.
Swing and an opposite field fly ball. Hit well to right field. That ball is gone! A two-run homer for Jorge Bonifacio, and the Royals come to life, scoring three times here in the seventh inning to take the lead, 3-2.
Man, Steve Stewart fired up last night. This from Jorge Bonifacio just continues to make me – I've checked his stats multiple times after games where he has homered or performed well, because I keep looking at it like, man, this guy's really playing pretty well. And you're talking about a corner outfielder that was already in your system. This year he's hitting .267. He's got six bombs, 13 RBIs. Limited sample size there, obviously. Understand that. But he has been producing at the plate. And it almost makes me – well, there's no almost. It makes me more frustrated with the Jorge Soler trade, where the Royals ship off Wade Davis to bring in Soler, another corner outfielder, who has been terrible this year. Bonifacio's performance just drives in the knife, the pain – intensifies there from giving up Wade Davis for Soler with the way that Bonifacio is playing. I mean, Soler right now, the corner outfielder that you brought in that probably does still have higher upside. He's only 25. He is still young, and he hasn't played very much in a Royals uniform. Really doesn't have a full year of Major League Baseball under his belt. But he is borderline unplayable right now. He came in with two weaknesses, injuries, defense. The defense we've already seen is not great. He's been injured. He started the year on the disabled list. So two bugaboos that we knew about have reared their ugly heads already early in his career. And, man, if you haven't noticed what he's doing at the plate, 51 at-bats, he's hitting .157. He's only been able to play in 16 games because of that injury and other circumstances. But what he is right now is the way Bonifacio is playing. He's your fourth outfielder. He's playing right now because Gordon's been on paternity leave, but he's your fourth outfielder. And you had a guy in your system who is performing at a much higher level than him right now, and you could still have Wade Davis, who, by the way, is just killing it with the Cubs. He has nine saves, and he's yet to allow an earned run yet this year. That means, for those of you keeping track at home, that ERA for Wade Davis, 0.00.
0.0.
Just for
Animal House? Animal House, no?
Oh, no. Well, I've seen Animal House. Sorry, I didn't get the reference. I just messed that all up. I was just trying to be real dramatic with the way that I read it there. So, thought you were poking fun at me, which is fair. You should. Yeah, look, but Kelvin Herrera has had some issues this year. He has basically blown three saves. He has a loss and two official blown saves. It'd be nice to be still using him in the eighth and Wade Davis as your lights-out closer. I don't think it would make a giant difference on this team in the grand scheme of things. It may help you out three or four games. I don't think that's going to be enough to make any kind of difference between the Royals being a postseason team and not. But this was supposed to be the last year of the window, quote-unquote, to win. And the way this trade looks right now, you definitely made your team worse in 2017, hoping for the payoff down the line that Soler realizes some of that potential, that he's a corner outfielder with a lot of pop in the bat. And admittedly, this is another thing that, just looking at the lens that we have right now, changes my opinion on the trade, because at the time that the trade was made, I understood why it was made. Closers have a very short shelf life. You know, you got to get that thing off the shelf quick before the closer totally blows up. Royals have messed that up before with Soria the first time around. And they got a pretty high upside return from the Cubs. And I did think that Soler could be good enough to contribute this year and help him out this year. So, well, more of it was based on the future. I could buy the argument that it would help you in 2017 as well. That's just not the way it's playing out. You know, sometimes it does not work out perfectly. I would tend to argue that the Royals, at least by process here, played this the right way. But the outcome, if you're looking at outcomes and that's the way you're going to judge everything, the outcome right now is not good, because you have a corner outfielder from your system performing better. You've had issues at the back end of the bullpen, which is what you gave up. And Soler, he's just tough to have in the lineup right now at all, the way he is playing. So I know some might roll their eyes out there at me. I tend to be cynical, negative. Royals win a game. Bonifacio with a two-run opposite field shot. Everyone's fired up. Steve Stewart's fired up. And I've got to come bring you down with it. But sorry, sometimes I just can't help it. More Wichita State, K-State talk at 5:10. I think K-State should play Wichita State, but the logistics of it are very important. When we come back, though, we'll get a Will Geary update from Bill Snyder at a Capacker event yesterday. Plus, I've got a scalding hot, wacky, and stormy S-take to get off my chest. This is The Game.